Are we not incredibly blessed? It is always wonderful. We love the choir, but it's also wonderful in the summer when the choir's on hiatus to hear from various other groupings and soloists and Hap and Keith and Blake and Katie. Wow, thank you all so much this morning for the beautiful music. The gospel reading comes, we continue in Luke's gospel, which is the primary gospel for this year C in the lectionary. And we are in the 10th chapter and begin with the 38th verse. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." In our hearing, our speaking, our living. May God's word. There are moments that are just forever imprinted on our minds, our memories. We've been hearing a lot lately about observing the 50th anniversary of the first moon landing. It's been fun to see some of those old photographs. Many of us can remember, of course, being in the living room with a black and white TV, at least that was so in our case, that now seems so teeny tiny in comparison to today's TVs. I remember 8 of us crowding around to watch that, and the anticipation building up to it, the excitement at that first fuzzy scene coming on the TV screen and the first words. There are other moments, of course, like that, sometimes big national world events or sometimes personal family ones. We may not recall what happened leading to or right after the particular moment, but details still stick with us, don't they? We can still see the old wallpaper or smell the gardenia bush outside or hear the quiet weeping of those present. We can recall that feeling in our very bodies that something in life was shifting. The passage from Luke is really just a moment, a common, ordinary moment, a brief scene. It's 4 verses. Just a gathering of friends together for a meal in a house with the host getting frustrated because her sister wouldn't get up and help with the dishes. I don't know how many times that scene played out in our house of someone claiming to be the only one doing all the chores and the task while the next one was doing nothing. Maybe it was just our family, I don't know. So why was it preserved? Why was it important enough and memorable enough to earn a place in Luke's gospel, this commonplace story? Well, it's certainly a familiar one, but for generations it's been reduced to the notion that what it presents is the tension between action and contemplation, the doers versus the beers. The two sisters getting kind of reduced to these stereotypes with nothing in between. Choose sides, we hear. Are you a Mary or a Martha? We pit them against each other as if it has to be either or. We try to fit them into this false binary as we love to do. I'm sure I've preached some of those sermons, and I apologize. The Christian life has always been some combination of the two, and needs to be, of action and contemplation, each one feeding the other. Jesus is not simply weighing in on one side. Besides the immediately preceding passage, as we heard last week, was the story of the Good Samaritan, where he tells the young man, go and do, act like the Good Samaritan in the story. Besides, the tension of those two alone would not have been enough to make this a memorable moment and to have it included in the gospel narrative. I suspect the reason it was so memorable for the disciples and the early church, the reason Luke preserved it and had it written down, is not that common debate versus contemplative life versus active life. I suspect the scene was memorable because it was so uncommon. It would have been entirely unexpected. You see, both women behaved in ways that violated social norms of the times. Mary would have been expected to be back in the kitchen doing her part, serving the food and the drink, cleaning up during the meal and after. Women in that day, and in some places, some cultures still in our day, stayed in rooms separated entirely from the men. For the women to join in with the men's conversation would have been totally unthinkable. And here's Mary. She's not just, you know, kind of crouched behind the door, listening, eavesdropping. She goes and plops herself right down in the position of a student with a teacher. If we had a video of that scene, I would guess we would hear murmurings, whisperings behind her back. I would guess we would see some of the disciples nudging each other and pointing, and kind of looking to Jesus like, you're going to kick her out, right? Only he doesn't do that. He does the opposite. He welcomes her. At the same time, Martha is also crossing boundaries. She takes the initiative to invite Jesus and the disciples into her house and welcomes them. Female head of household, inviting men into her home. That is certainly a line crossed. That certainly got the neighbors talking. And we don't know how many came in to eat. Jesus had a whole entourage following him wherever he went. It could have been a large number. She had every right to feel frustrated at being left alone with the work. And that's where she crosses another line. She speaks to Jesus very directly, bluntly, not as one would to a great teacher, but more as one would to a friend or a family member, with direct honesty. Do you not care? What a question. There again, I envision her saying that, and the room just silent. Everybody kind of sucking in their breath, like, did she just say that? That question should have sounded familiar to Jesus and should sound familiar to us. It's not the only time someone asked him. You remember the story when Jesus is in the boat with the disciples and the storm blows up on the Sea of Galilee and the waves are pouring in and Jesus is asleep on a cushion. So a couple of them go and kind of kick at his feet and rouse him at the shoulder and say, Lord, don't you care? We're perishing. It was not the first time God heard the question. Repeatedly throughout the Psalms in particular, We hear some version of what we hear in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? And there's no evidence anywhere in Scripture that anyone suffered dire consequences for asking God, do you care? Perhaps that question has arisen from somewhere deep in your soul at some time in your life. Do you not care, God? The first time I remember wondering if God really cared was at age 10 when my grandfather died. And everybody had prayed, even the nuns at the Catholic Church my grandfather was never a part of had prayed. Do you not care? There have been times since then, other losses. How many of us asked it on the morning of 9/11? How many of us ask it these days? Do you not care, God, that 5-year-old migrant children are being forced to sign papers they do not understand that relinquish any rights? Do you not care about environmental devastation? Do you not care that some are shouting racist chants, send her back? Do you not care that so many people do not seem to care that that's happening? Do you not care that someone I love is dying of cancer or suffering with Alzheimer's? I hear Jesus' response to Martha not as scolding, but as an invitation to draw close to the one who does indeed care precisely at the moment when she is most frustrated and angry. I see him making a space besides Mary, just the two of them kind of motioning for Martha, come and sit a minute and just breathe and listen. If you've been working so hard that all you see is more and more work, or more and more bad news, or more people who aren't working like they ought to be working, if all you see are the broken threads of too much doing, then it is time to sit at Jesus' feet and breathe and listen. It's time to be still and know the Spirit who knows us and offers rest for our souls. And on the other hand, if your legs are numb from sitting too long, if you've got fanny fatigue, it's time to get up and do something. But more than trying to achieve some mythical balance is to grow in awareness of God's presence right here with us, each moment. Bring your anger and your questions. Savor the moment. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus said. The women welcomed him into their home and in their lives in completely different ways. Both broke social and religious norms and the expectations other people had for them. Martha welcomes Jesus by offering hospitality, good food, a comfortable place to stay. Mary welcomes him by sitting quietly with him, focusing just on him and what he's got to say. And both have something to teach us. Martha shows us we can question Jesus and express all that is within us, including frustration and anger. In the UCC Book of Worship for the service, for funerals and memorial services, we begin often with the welcoming words that say, friends, we gather here in the protective shelter of God's love. We are free to pour out our grief, our anger, face our emptiness, and know God cares. And we are always free like that. As Martha showed us, after all, only someone who trusted her guest could be that honest. And Mary shows us the power of quiet courage in following Jesus, of keeping your focus even and especially when others might judge you for it. If Mary's a patron saint of those who dare to cross boundaries to seek wisdom and grace, Martha is the patron saint of those who find themselves crying out, "Do you not care?" And both give us permission to be exactly where we are, either place or somewhere in between. And in their own unique ways, they show us what it looks like to trust in the divine presence. What does all this say to the church, the body of Christ? I think it reminds us to keep grounded in the boundless love of God, to remember God is for us. To never underestimate the power of simple hospitality. Reminds us there are all sorts of ways to be a disciple, that everyone has a part to play, and there are no set roles. So who cares? Mary does. She cared enough to put up with the whispering and the judging, to sit at Jesus' feet to learn. Martha cares enough to get angry with her friend. They did so because Jesus first had welcomed them, met them where they were, and cared for them. So it was a far less dramatic moment than the earth-changing moonwalk. But this one small moment, I think, is worth remembering. It holds out to us the assurance of a God who cares for us all, whether we are frustrated or at peace, content or riled up or bored. God welcomes us all. Amen.